Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long. Judgment day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up, all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. With you. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, owner, operator, and overseer of the Spirit Alive Network. And it gives me great joy to premiere a brand new program entitled On Point with Minister Anthony Brooks. At the top of the program, you heard the late, great Teddy Pendergrass singing Wake Up. Yeah. And now, here's your host with the most, Minister Anthony Brooks. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, for the very warm welcome. Tonight, the topic will be, who am I first, a Christian or a believer? This affects me greatly. I'll give you a little background on me. I was raised as a Catholic boy in the city of Compton, and it's a it turns out to be a pretty intimate community of us. We're raised to act, react, and conduct ourselves in a particular way. For me, being the youngest of four children, I tend to be a little curious about things and curious to the point of asking questions. And so as a little boy, I wondered about certain aspects of Catholicism. I would ask my mother about a practice called confession when a person goes into a little room and one side, a little dark room, and on the other side is a priest who listens to the confession of sin. So I would ask my mother, why do we have to do that? And her prompt response would be, shut up and do what you're told. Other things came up, I would ask, and the answer would remain the same. Shut up and do what you're told. So, obviously, my curiosity was not satisfied. So, as years went on, I went and studied about the practice of Catholicism. And when I found out why those things exist, some of those things existed, then it prompted me to dig even deeper. Bottom line is, it was originated by the Emperor Constantine the First, Roman Emperor, and learning that though he found Messiah, he was saved, he still was a Roman at heart. And so by even incorporating his newfound belief in the Messiah and Jesus, he still turned around and incorporated his traditional practices with his beliefs. So, therefore, you have the Catholic Church. And, of course, other things over the centuries have occurred to bring it to where it is now. My point is, Catholics consider themselves Christians. Protestants, Episcopalians, Lutherans, Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists, you go down the line, all consider themselves Christian. Well, I ask, does a difference exist between being a Christian and a believer? In my opinion, I say yes, I believe so. So many in this culture attend buildings of worship and do it following traditions, following practices that have been set in place. Some are biblical, but then again, some are man-made. And we have to ask ourselves. We have to get to the point and be honest with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
This practice, which we call religion, is this what our Father in Heaven wants? Or is this something that we want to follow without argument because it's tradition, it's man's tradition, and we don't want to disrupt man's tradition. We don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to step on toes. So we go ahead and follow through. One thing our Father lets us know is that he will bring us to a new reality. He'll bring us to a new enlightenment. He will bring us to he tells us that when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. When we are in the Messiah, we become a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all has become new. Well, that can be part of religion as well, insofar as that can be the old. And those of us who diligently seek him, he wants us to seek him. He tells us to seek him first in all his righteousness, and the rest shall be added unto us. So honestly, I mean honestly, for me, for you, for everybody, who wants to say, I love God, Jesus is my Savior. Well, if you want to be forthright and honest, and I mean when nobody's looking, when it's you and the Most High all alone, do you actually acknowledge Him as a Lord above all and are willing to reject not only Satan, but also his tricks and his deceptions, and allow the Holy Spirit bring awareness to you, to bring discernment to you, to me, to us, so that when we see that, when we realize that we have to move on from a certain stage in life because it no longer is of use, because it's not scripturally consistent, it's not scriptural. And there are a lot of religions that go outside of the beliefs of the Father. I'm not saying get up, walk away, and drop everything. What I'm saying is open your heart to the Father. Open your heart to Him that much more so that you allow Him to do His work in you, not basing your works on what the pastor says, what the priest says, and what the deacon says, or what the elders say.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many times that they may be all good and well with their intentions, but their intentions are only worthwhile if they're consistent with the wishes of the Most High and what He wants for you. And you have to get along with Him. I'm saying bottom line, seek Him first.
Yes.
We're so caught up in manifestation. Even now when we know better, it's one thing upon centuries ago when maybe we didn't know better, we weren't exposed to better, but now we have an opportunity to know greater than great. Yet, in this American society, which is the only one I can speak, it's more self-serving. It's more selfish, entitled, and quicker to worship self and make self more important than anything else. And then, tragically, that's been carrying over into spreading COVID-19 virus with the selfishness of some that don't want to wear masks because they feel they're too important, or their rights are, their God-given rights are being violated, when in reality they're not thinking about the next person that might be susceptible to that illness, which has killed countless people up to this point. It's consistent also with what we seek in the churches. Are we seeking self-gratification, self-satisfaction? Do we want all the glamour? We want all the adulation? Do we want to be celebrities in the church? Do we want to make this house of worship more a house of entertainment? Again, when we get lost in religion, we are lost. We're sheep without a shepherd.
Come on.
Because we've taken our Messiah, we've taken Yeshua, we've taken Jesus, and said, oh, we love you, you're wonderful and all that, but just stay over here for a little while we do our thing.
Huh. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the focus anymore. He's not all that our Father put Him here to be and do and become and forever is and forever will be. No. That's when we've taken ourselves and made ourselves more important than Him. Years ago, I attended a house of worship up in the Bay Area, and it was so disheartening, sad to see what was occurring. You had a congregation that was at odds with each other. It was broken for all to see. A sister of the church that goes to the microphone and starts claiming her position in the church, and then having an elder come right behind her, rebuke her, and reclaim his position. A completely broken place, spiritually broken. And that was the obvious. There's so many going around where everybody's focusing on somebody else, the relationships, the actions, the things, the spirits that are allowed. So that's why the question comes up, are you a Christian or are you a believer, a true believer? You can be a Christian and do all these foul things under the title. Sadly, it happens. It's been happening. It can be anything from welcoming all types of lascivious behavior in the house of worship. Go ahead and cheat on your wives. Go ahead and have these adulterous relationships, these inappropriate relationships, these homosexual relationships. We'll welcome them. We'll celebrate them, even though his word says everything to the contrary. We want to still allow this. We have hate groups in this country based on their belief in Christianity. And we know one in particular, the Ku Klux Klan. So that's when each of us has to stop and review our individual relationships, each one of us, our individual relationships with the Father. Am I with you, Father? Am I seeking you before everything else and anybody else? Am I looking to you and my Savior, because you're one? Am I looking to you with the love, you are love, you are compassion, you are mercy, you are abundant life. Nothing's
preach, bro.
Greater, no one's greater, nobody's greater.
Yes.
But
yeah,
am I living that? Am I pursuing that? I'm saying this to everybody, to look at yourself. Don't play games. Don't skip around the parking lot like you don't know where your car is. You just press the keys and you just heard the horn, the alarm go off, and it's right there behind you. You know what's going on. You know with yourself. You can't play these games with yourselves anymore. None of us can. We know that we're in the last days of the last days. Look around, what's going on.
Yes.
And that so much is upside down. We used to use this term common sense. There's nothing common about sense now. It's getting pretty rare. And we see we still have such a great racial divide in this country. It never went away. It's always been here. A lot of people don't want to hear this, but this country was founded on racism. It was founded on bigotry and hate. Yes, God's name is in the Constitution, yet at the same time, people were being called three-fifths human and chattel, being sold as property, and being abused in all types of inhumane ways, very consistent with the horrors of the Holocaust during the Third Reich of the Nazis. All consistent hate, all consistent horror. It all stems from selfishness, being misguided, claiming something when you believe something else, saying God is good, I love the Lord, Jesus is my Savior, yet turn around and spit on your fellow man, curse your fellow man. Put down that woman. Molest that young child. He's not mocked. Father is not mocked. We can keep playing these games. We can keep acting as if everything's fine, putting on that Sunday face, putting on, you know, getting all prettied up for Sunday. That's the day to look good, to let everybody know that you're perfect and you're wonderful, that you're without blemish. Oh, like Jesus? Like him? That's beyond stupid. That's beyond idiotic. He's the only one. Has, is, will forever be the only man that walked this earth without blemish.
Yeah.
And we try to match him through the flesh. The flesh is no good. We're taught in the Bible, we're taught in his holy word to condemn the flesh with all its lusts and affections. We're taught that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through Yah, through God, through the pulling down of strongholds.
Yes.
And that's the problem that each one of us has. If we're not humble, if we're not listening to him, if we're not truly seeking him, those strongholds dig deeper, and they dig deeper into the ground. And whatever foul spirit we entertain, especially those foul spirits that blatantly disobey Father in his face and do so pridefully, there's not, unless you turn your way, there's hell to pay. There's hell to pay. We can't sit around and pretend it's not. I keep saying that. And it comes back to, again, are you being a Christian? Are you out there just playing the Christian game, playing the Christian role, the way they do it on TV, the way they've been doing it in some of these traditional houses of worship, churches for decades and centuries? Or are you reaching for higher? Even our Messiah said that the tradition of man renders the word of God to no effect.
Come on.
So if we're busy being lost in tradition, if that is more important to us, oh, I better please Pastor Williams, because this is what his grandpa, his daddy, his grandpa, his great-grandpa did. You want to do it the same way? Come on. Like it may seem nice, it may seem cute, but when you but if it's anything off to the left, and it's already off to the left, and you're saying, oh, do things the pastor's way. No, you do things
God's way.
Jesus way. God's way. You do things the Father's way. You
come
know
on, come on,
and say, I need to know what you want from me. Such and such
says
this, but I need to know what you say about it.
Mm-hmm.
Before I take a step, putting on the makeup, stop going Hollywood. I'm asking for, practically begging, stop playing Hollywood. Your eternity, your eternal soul is not a toy, a wish to be played.
Come on.
And on top of that, the way you take your soul, you can be bringing people down with you if you're that selfish. If you don't want anyone telling you what you need to know, what I need to know. None of us, especially us adults, like especially when we get a certain stage in life, don't want to be told a thing. We got life figured out. We're old enough and wise enough in the theater of our minds to go out and say, well, if it was me, I tell you, I would do it like this, and I recommend you should do it too. After all, I'm 55, and you're only 19, so just listen to me. I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Sure. My life's a wreck, and I'm going to go around and start passing out advice? Like, I got it all, life all figured out? Like, come on down to my seminar, my webinar, and you see how it's done. Mm-hmm. I'll be your life coach. I'll be your Bible life coach. Have you taken care? Well taken care. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. There's not too many people you hear in the airwaves, you see around, that speak with compassion, speak with a contrite heart, speak with conviction from falling on their faith, being dragged down the road the road of despair, hurting and suffering, challenges that this world brings. Being humble, being put in a certain place for a certain reason that only our Father in heaven knows. And he commands us to humble ourselves before his mighty hand, and he'll exalt us in due time. And when you really do seek his face, humbling circumstances follow. Not everybody is ready to go down that road. They'd rather take the easy way. In this walk with him, there is no easy way, especially in the world's current condition. But it's a greater way nonetheless.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you, it's a wonderful experience to shed the false, the lies, the deception that the enemy's put out, trapping believers. He goes after us believers before he goes after those lost in the world. Devil ain't got to worry about them.
He's already got them.
Yeah, as far as he's concerned, he's already got them. They're on the street.
Amen.
They're on that boulevard to hell, and he's happy with that. I said happy. You know, happy is a condition. You know, it doesn't mean that there's true joy behind it necessarily. It depends on the person and the circumstances and what lies in that individual's heart.
Amen.
Truly what lies in that individual's heart. If you want to see someone succeed and they succeed, you're not necessarily only happy for them. You're also joyful that they made it.
Amen.
It warms your heart. It genuinely warms your heart. That's the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And, of course, you get the opposite when someone's happy to see somebody fail. Good. She got what she deserved, that fool. Well, the shoe can quickly be on the other foot. And we need to not go out there and sow that bad seed, because we'll have to turn right around and reap it. People out there say it's karma. Oh, well, they're consistent all day long. Don't do that. And it's also being selfish again. When we're thinking more about ourselves, satisfying ourselves, than we are looking to be of service to somebody else. And again, is this what a Christian does? Well, in some places, yes, that's what Christians do. Again, we talked about some Christians that 155 years ago decided to don themselves in white up to their head, top of their heads, hoods, going around terrorizing people, terrorizing black folks. Why? Well, why not? We hate them. Let's burn their house down. Let's string them up. Let's string them up, pile their bodies on top of each other, burn them up, call it a barbecue, have a good time.
Yeah, come on.
They call themselves Christians. Do you want to identify with that version of Christian?
My Lord.
We have to develop a stronger awareness first off, and I'll emphasize this for the next few minutes, awareness. And the first part of awareness is stopping long enough to go to a mirror, go to your bathroom, that's usually the habit, stare at yourself. Just stare at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, am I being a Christian or am I speaking as a believer? Do I want to believe what the Bible says? Do I want to believe that Jesus is my Savior, that he died for me, that he suffered greater than I could begin to imagine, that he walked this earth blameless and spotless, that he was the strongest man, the most courageous man, the most loving man, the most compassionate man, the most humble man that ever walked this earth, that ever came in the flesh? Because, of course, he is Lord. He is Father God. They are one. It's easy to figure out when you realize that only our Father could put a man on this earth in the sinful flesh, in foul, sinful flesh, full nature, like the rest of us. Our flesh and our nature are one and the same. Sinful. The bodies which we have are supposed to be far greater, once far greater than this. Far greater. But because of sin, death. So we're much less. That's why we get to a point, we grow, mature, wither, rot, and die. And the worst thing we could have happen is to allow our spirits, our souls, to wither, rot, and die along with our bodies. And that's a given if you want to keep playing man by man's rules. You want to keep living this life according to man. If you want to please the preacher before pleasing the Father, you want to please your neighbors before pleasing the Father, you want to please you want to be politically correct and please everybody that comes your way before pleasing the Father. We will all be challenged. We'll all be in a situation, if you haven't already, or are still going through it right now, or enduring it right now, a situation where you're called right there on the spot. Oh, so you love God, huh? You love Jesus, huh? We'll prove it. Show it. We'll be tested. Father will test us on what we claim. He will test us. How many of us are ready for that test? How many of us really want to take that test? How many for us is more convenient to lay low, stay under the radar? Don't say anything. Be quiet. They won't bother us. Don't have time to do that. We don't have time to play around. We see how things are in our political system right now. Ridiculously flawed it is. And how the leadership, the so-called leadership in this country, has taken us into quite an off direction. Other nations look at us and are confused as to what's going on here. To us, those of us who are believers, and we are believers, we have to live like it. It's not enough to act. You're not here to act and perform, seek an Oscar or an Emmy or some type of a worldly reward. We're here for one reason: to love and serve the Most High.
Yeah.
And to live a life according to the same life our Savior, Yeshua, Jesus, lived. We won't be perfect in any way. We'll never reach His perfection. But we're here to pursue it.
Yes.
We're here to pursue it. In everything we do and everything we say. We have to guard our minds. We have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our mouths.
Yes.
But again,
amen,
none of this matters if you, the listener, or me talking. What good am I if I'm going to say all these things to you? Get off the phone. Get off the program. And go back doing all my little sinful stuff and have a good time. Cursing people out, disrespecting folks, showing no honor, no respect, seeing who I could, seeing how many women I could sleep with and how much money I could hit folks up for. You know, playing games.
Yes.
Or for some others, how about this? Let me see who I can hold emotional hostage.
Come on.
It's like, I like them over there. It's you. You're not doing what I want you to do. So I'm going to have an attitude with you. I'm going to turn my nose up, turn my back to you.
Mm.
See how you like it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not talked about enough. That's not talked about enough. Well, I'm going to take this person over here because, well, they do what I want them to do. So I'm gonna give them this promotion. I'm going to make sure that, you know, they get hooked up as long as they're doing what I want them to do. That one over there, oh, forget you. You trying
right
to be honest. You trying to be – you what, you got the nerve to bring integrity to me?
Well –
I want your integrity. I want your obedience. Do what I want, and that's all. You want to be Johnny or Janie Do-Goody, you know, take that somewhere else. You get a lot of that. You get women who are believers, who are true believers, and humble themselves, put themselves face down. And what does Father do? Starts bringing them up to a higher level. Here, there, higher, advanced, promote. But what happens,
amen,
here and there? You get some so-called pastor, some so-called leader that wants to be traditional, and he wants to keep things traditional.
Well,
and part of that tradition means that we can't have women being and having any positions of authority in our church.
Well,
who, when did you die on the cross, go down to hell, steal the keys of eternal life and bring them back? Not steal them, but take back what the devil stole.
Yeah.
Did you do it?
No.
Is your name Jesus? Do people call you Jesus? Yeshua? No. They call you Pastor Ralph. But you sure act like you're trying to be something more than what you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to keep this woman down, who is, what's the word, anointed?
Mm-hmm.
She is chosen not by
Lord,
you, not
Jesus,
by any man. She was chosen by Father in heaven. Who are you, Mr. Man, to stand in his way, get in the way of what our Father has planned?
Amen. Amen.
You don't want to do that because he'll move you. His will, it's his will be done, not my will. His will be done. Our Savior said it. He bled and wanted so badly in his flesh to not go to the cross, not go to Calvary, to not have to endure all the horrific suffering, the unimaginable horror that he was subjected, the beatings, the having his skin ripped wide open, people spitting and defecating on him and mocking him and making fun of him, throwing insults at him from all different directions, having hell brought upon him. We can't imagine that. Not you, not me, none of us can imagine that. Yet we go around like we're better than that. Like we're too pretty and too prissy to humble ourselves for somebody else. Instead, we'd rather be prideful and take somebody down because we want to follow tradition. I heard a man once say that he was a proud Christian. I still don't understand what that means. I don't know what that means. You say you're a humble Christian. Okay, well, you sounds more understanding. It sounds more real. What does our Father say about pride? It comes before shame. He resists the proud. Being prideful is thinking too highly of yourself. He hates the proud. He wants nothing to do with the proud because you got your head. The prideful have their head in the clouds. They can't be told anything. They can't listen to any wise counsel because the eyes and the ears of their soul are shut down. They believe only what they want to believe.
That's right.
Reprobate mind. That's that lost mind. Do you want to identify with that? Do you really want to identify with that? Do any of you? I know I don't.
No.
And he's put me on my face too many times. I can't go there. He, when I start feeling good about myself, and yeah, that's been a few times in life. My goodness. He knows how to put a man down. He knows how to put a man down. And I'm talking about a prideful man. One who thinks he's got things figured out. One who goes up there like King Nebuchadnezzar. Going out there talking about all the things. I did this, I did that, I did it my way. Whap and bam. That's how fast our Father works. It's like, you do no good thing without me. And that goes for all of us. We do nothing good without him. Because that's only him. That's him only working through us. And we get too proud to acknowledge that. He will bring you down. And you will know it. He'll bring you down like no man can begin to bring you down. No man. He'll step aside and let the enemy do his thing. Because that person, you out there who's too proud to listen to the Father, to be humble, guess what you're doing? You're bringing in the enemy. You open the doors wide to your house. 3 a.m.
Yeah.
In a bad neighborhood, you open every door in your house. And you know you got nice stuff all up in your house. Come and get it.
Teach.
We can't keep this up. We have to know that with the culture in which we live here in the United States, for sure, it's a Christian-based culture. But there are things in it that are inconsistent with that sovereign word. whether we want to accept it or not, whether we want to believe it or not. Some are not as severe as others, but they're severe nonetheless. I'll just say they're not as severe on the outside to the inside. But we talk about segues. Say that marijuana is a segue to bat to even more illicit drugs, more dangerous drugs. Oh, so is that little sin.
Yeah, come on.
Thinking, oh, well, we'll twist the word a little bit over here, Bible over here, and no one's not going to bother anyone. Oh, find out later, because then that invites others. It invites worse and worse. We can't have that in our individual lives. If we're the true body, we're the true body of the Messiah, then we have to look to him for the shepherd that he is, the good shepherd. Follow his teachings. Look to tailor our lives in his light, in his way. No one else's, nobody else's. Only because we know there's nobody else that's walked this earth. Nobody else has walked this earth without sin. Every man has fallen short. Every other man has fallen short of our Father's glory. We've all sinned. That doesn't mean we're condemned unless we shun our Father, unless we shun our Messiah, unless we turn our backs on them, on him, and live any way we want and think it's okay. Don't be mocked. Don't be mocked by all the redundant practices and traditions. Don't be mocked to think that that's going to be your salvation. That because you're a good Catholic boy or good Catholic girl, that you're assured heaven. That you've been a very good Protestant, a very good aesthetic Jew. It's like that's not enough.
That's right.
Anything you're practicing, you have to seek his face. Individual, you, me, have to seek his face. On the outside, I look like a pretty nice guy. I seem like a pretty cool dude. Hey, what about on the inside? What's going on inside of me? And I could fake with all each and every one of you. You say, oh, he's a good-looking man. Hey, 55. Hey, all right now. Whoop-de-doo. If I'm a fool on the inside, if I'm rotten to the core on the inside, I am nothing good. There's nothing good about me. Inside out, no matter what. Man looks on the outward appearance, but our Father, the Lord, looks upon the heart.
Yes.
He sees way deep beyond this flesh that we put so much on. We put so much on. We put so much on the manifestation. Oh, I look good. I smell good. I got it going on. Oh, I got a nice car. Oh, I live in a nice part of town. Oh, I know some good people. I know celebrities. I'm rolling with the big dogs. Can't tell me nothing.
Come on.
That's the danger. That's the danger. So these other folks who aren't as pleasing to the eye, don't have all the trinkets and goodies that you have, are less than you. You know, some years ago we all wore those wristbands and necklaces and certain things that said WWJD, what would Jesus do?
Well,
I mean, it's funny. That was kind of a fad, but you know, a lot of us Like we're ditching that question real fast. Like,
well, we're
talking about Jesus now. Give me my drink.
Right. Come on, preacher.
Right away. Where am I? Where are you? Where are we? Again, it goes back to wanting to play that game. We think that my church is my God. You know, that the whole congregation is my God. Think my boss and job is my God. I think my spouse is my God. My girlfriend, your boyfriend, that stranger at the corner, that Lamborghini that just went down the street.
Come on, bro. Preach,
you
know, preacher.
That mansion in Hollywood Hills. You know, that yacht out in the French Riviera. That your God? That luscious bank account? All those zeros behind that crooked number? That your God? All these things will pass away. Our Father in heaven will forever be here. And what's even worse for those who think like that, those of us who think like that, hey, we're going to die, and all this stuff's going to go to somebody else. And that's a given. Hold on to it long enough. You die, it's going to go to somebody else. It could go to your kids, and they can turn
Amen.
Around and just waste it. They could go on and take it and treat it like a winning lotto ticket and run through it, and all of it's gone. It can be gone in 6 months.
Yeah, say that.
Like, who is your God? Who's really your
Come
God?
Come on.
And through Christianity, are you valuing Christianity more than you're valuing the man for which this is named?
Come on. Speak.
That's why there's a difference. He's here in this country. But the people I see, the way they go about their business, call themselves Christians, drive to this big fancy building in the middle of the ghetto, middle of the hood, the downtrodden, impoverished hood, big old fancy expensive building, all gated off. Pastor comes driving around in the late model Lexus or BMW, Mercedes, go high end. Why not? You're the pastor. People across the street living in tents. Oh, pastor, you got celebrities going to his church. You know,
so
who's who? You know, who's
so.
Who? A big name. You know, oh, I saw his movie. He's a good one. You know, oh, I saw her. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, wow. Wow, did she win an Oscar? Back across the street. Folks are struggling beyond struggling.
Yeah, come on.
All within eyesight. All within vision. But what's more important? These Christian folks in this big, luscious Christian building. Got stuff, gold looking stuff dripping off their wrists, wearing designer suits and expensive shoes. Women all beautiful, well manicured, wearing beautiful, gorgeous dresses, and they're looking like everything that's right with the world. But really, what's going on inside his heart, her heart? What's going
there
on with his soul?
Yeah.
What difference is their soul from the ones that are across the street that are living in those tents,
mm-hmm.
living at using the bus stop bench as their bed at night? if not the bushes behind the bus stop? What's the difference with their song? Or we want to focus
nothing.
On the outward appearance, but there's nothing. There's no difference. In fact, these folks living on bus stop benches, living out of tents, it'd be quicker to be welcome to the kingdom of heaven for these people going around posturing and posting themselves in the so-called house of worship, the church, so-called church of God. Don't fool yourselves, because he's not fooled. And again, if this is your idea of being a Christian, you are being greatly deceived.
Yes.
And this part, I want to conclude by again saying, you know, first off, we thank the bishop, thank Mother Mitchell for being so loving and encouraging and supportive.
We love you,
two wonderful women, two fantastic women. And I love you both very much. And I thank you again. We're running, you know, things are rapidly changing. And when I say we're running out of time, it's not like the earth's going to just blow up. But we know that our Messiah can come here like a thief in the night. And those of us who are with him in our hearts certainly won't be here anymore. Certainly we'll be with him.
Amen.
And those of us who were not in his heart, he's not the center, the focus in their life. He's not right between the eyes. Well, that's being left behind. And we're seeing important things to come with this, how the direction in which this world is turning. It's all meant to happen.
Yes.
But at the same time, those of us who believe our Father in heaven, those of us who know that Jesus, Yeshua, is Lord and Messiah and our Savior, we know through him we can look up. Our redemption
is
near. And that we're okay.
Yes.
That the things of this world don't matter like they once did. They're not that big a deal. Who cares about being rich, worldly rich? Who cares about being a celebrity, being famous? Those things don't matter anymore. There's some of us that never did matter. Who cares about having worldly favor? We only want favor with our Father in heaven.
That's right. Because amen.
We seek spiritual. And I'm asking all of you to seek spiritual.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen and glory to God. What
amen.
A wonderful teaching. And brother, to that all I have to say is never, ever, ever, never, ever do I want to belong to the church of me. Because basically that's what you have let everybody know. We want to play at being Christians. We want to call ourselves Christians, but we want to have a love affair with the enemy.
Yeah.
If we're in the body of Christ, that's not going to fly in the face of God.
Amen.
God is a jealous God, and you can't serve both masters. So either you're going to love God and hate the world, or you're going to hate
the world.
Love the world and hate God. You can't have it both ways.
Both ways.
No.
And I like what you said about it being time out. Time out for playing. We can't be going Hollywood with the Lord, because he's real.
Yes.
He is the God, God Almighty. And I know for me and my house, we're going to serve the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham. We're going to serve Jesus, our Lord and our risen Savior. We are going to believe what the Word of God says, and we are not going to go along to get along in the world. Because, see, we are at war. We are in a battle for our very souls. See, really the battle is between the Lord and Satan. But when it comes to our soul, we have the deciding vote. We must make the deciding choice. Are we going to choose Jesus and all that our Lord and Savior represents? Compassion, grace, mercy, love. Are we going to just stay in love with ourselves? I want to do what I want to do. I want to have it my way. I know better than God what needs to go on in my life. I have a word for you on tonight. You're going to die. If you don't stop playing with our Heavenly Father, you will surely die.
Amen.
Now, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, God told Satan, Adam and Eve in the garden, don't eat of that fruit. You will surely die.
That's right.
Now, he's still telling us, don't eat that fruit of sin. You will surely die. Don't eat that fruit of contempt. You will die. Don't eat that fruit of hypocrisy. You will die. You're playing a deadly game when you're playing with God. But I don't need to reteach what my brother just taught. What I'm about to do right now is open up the line, and if you want to put your praise on it, you want to encourage Minister Brooks, you want to just say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. The way this works is if you press your 1, I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. But in the meantime and in between time, I just want to say to you, my dear brother, God's minister, you did a phenomenal job. And I pray that we have many, 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 many more teachings coming from you.
Yeah.
And I praise God for what he's doing in you. And I'm over here celebrating. I'm over here running around the house. Amen. Hallelujah. And tearing up. Because you, come on now. I said, look at God. But
amen.
I know Brother Mitchell wants to say something. I'm going to have Apostle Zeta come on in here, and she's going to say something. And if any of you others would like to have a word, we sure would love to hear from you. But right
amen.
Now, we're going to start with the mother of this network and our church, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. Son, I call you son because I think of you as my son, and I thank God for you. And I thank God that he left me here in the land of the living to hear your first sermon. And I thank God for that. And I've been saying, oh, that boy's got a preacher in him. What you know sings about we have a praise in us. Well, you have a preacher in you. And it'll just get better and better and sweeter as you walk with the Lord. And I know you love him and he loves you. So don't you pay no attention, look right or left and pay no attention to what people say to you. You keep doing what the Lord is telling you to do. And you will be all right. I'm giving you the same advice I gave the bishop when she told me that the Lord was calling her to preach. I said, well, you know who to keep praying to about it because can't nobody else tell you. I can't tell you. I can't call you. Only God can. But if he's calling you and you follow that call, do what God tells you to do. And that's what I'm telling you, my son. I love you dearly. You do what God tells you to do, and he'll bring you out all right and on the other side of everything you need to come on the other side of, and you'll be just fine. So know we love you, and as the mother of just not the church, but as your mama, I love you. I know I'm not your blood mama, but I love you because you're like one of my children, like one of my sons. I love you, and I love my grandson. and my granddaughters, because they belong to you, and you're trying to raise them right and in the right way.
Yes.
So you just keep on keeping on and doing what the Lord tells you to do.
Yes, Mama.
Thank you, Bishop.
You're welcome, Mama. Amen. Okay, let me get one of my spiritual mamas all up in the room. You didn't have your spiritual mama all up in the room. Let me get one of mine up in the room. Apostle Zeta, come on in the room.
Amen. Amen.
I just feel so blessed this evening because I just kind of suddenly remembered I'm rarely on Thursday evenings. But today I had such a good day and got some things accomplished that I needed to get accomplished, and so I'm thankful. But when I tuned in, I was hearing, a good word, and I was just hearing about, you know, the worldly ways versus godly ways.
Yeah.
If we want to see Jesus, we need to choose the right ways, and we need choose the godly way. We need to choose to follow Jesus, and we will have that in our lives. And I just, in listening to your message, I just heard that's what I was hearing. You know, we have a choice, but we need to make the right choice. And to encourage your heart, that you will continue to go on with the Lord and allow him to use you more and more.
Yes.
His name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I enjoyed it.
We all enjoyed it. Amen. Anybody else? You still have some time. You still have time. Anybody in the chat rooms, you want to type your message in, just type it on in, and we'll relay it to Minister Anthony. Well, while I wait, I've got a beautiful little story to tell you about my brother Anthony. Some friends of mine he came to lunch with some friends of mine. And as we were walking, I took one look at him. And I said, "What's up, preacher? There's a minister." I told him what my mother just told him. You know there's a minister in you, don't you? I saw it.
Amen.
And he kind of looked at me kind of sideways because, you know, he was all in his self, feeling his feelings, thinking, "Oh, not me. I'm not ready for all of that. I'm just beginning." And I looked at my brother and said, Stop playing. And thanks to God, my brother's done stopped playing. My brother has allowed God to pour into him, heal him up, build him up, and he is edifying the people of God.
Praise God.
And nothing blesses my soul more.
Glory, glory.
To see one of my brothers or my sisters making it, doing what they need to do for God, blessing others for the kingdom of God, being compassionate, growing up their children the right way.
Lord,
there are so many black men in this world today, they don't know how to be the Father, let alone know our Heavenly, because they don't know our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
They don't know how to be a good brother.
Amen.
Because they don't know Jesus, who sticks closer than any brother.
Yes.
They don't know. And they don't have the covering of our Lord and Savior to help them. They do not have the power of the Holy Spirit working within them.
Amen.
So when I think of you, my dear brother, when I listen to you, all I can do is rejoice. I'm on full right now.
Glory.
Because you told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's all God asks of us. We don't have to be these, we don't have to do all this, these theatrical and over-the-top preachers to be, you know, to be effective. In fact,
that's
I think that's less effective.
Amen.
But when you can stand flat-footed, nobody but you and the Lord, and bring the message that you wrote on tonight, that lets me know.
Yes.
God is you're real with God, and God is real in you.
Amen.
And I just want to say bless you. Bless you.
Yes.
It is an honor and a privilege and truly a joy to be your big sister and your bishop. And I just want to encourage your heart, as Mother Mitchell had, as Mother Apostle Zeta had, to continue. Walk that walk, my brother, because, see, the world needs you.
Amen.
We can't, I can't save everybody. Apostle Zeta can't save everybody. My mother can't lead everybody to Christ. So there's some people that God needs for you to reach.
Oh, yes.
There is a congregation of people, and they don't have to be all in the same building. See, we're No Bounds Outreach Ministry. We build congregations without walls around here.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So I just want you to go forth in the name of Jesus and continue, my brother, to let the Lord use you. And if anyone is listening tonight and you're not sure if you're a pseudo-Christian or a true believer, do what Minister Anthony says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you.
Amen.
Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment. And he'll even provide, and because he's already said, he will provide all of our needs. He said, if you praise me and you commit yourself to me and trust me, I will even give you the desires of your heart.
Yes.
So, my friends, Jesus will give us what we need. He will give us some of what we want.
Yes.
But he always will give us what's best for us.
Amen.
And if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, we, the family here at Spirit Alive, we invite you, to come into the body of Christ by inviting Christ into your heart.
Oh, yes.
Now, you don't have to get all dressed up. You don't have to go to a church and wait for them to wait for COVID to be open so you can go to a church. And you can go up amongst all the beautiful people and say you want to be saved. All you need to be saved is a sincere heart.
That's right.
And to go to God and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. Because, Lord, I tried it my way. I tried it the world's way. And I truly believe I need to do things your way. Come into my life and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I may know who you are. And my brother and my sister, we don't have to beg our Father God.
Right.
We don't have to we don't have to beg him. He says ask.
Amen.
And that's all. Knock.
Amen. Glory.
Knock. And the door shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given.
Yes.
Right.
We serve a God that loves you so much. He said he did not withhold his only son, his only begotten son, to die at Calvary, to be buried. Because thanks to God, people, my little friends, let me tell y'all something. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't faint. He didn't just swoon. He died. He was flesh and blood. He died.
Yes.
But the Father God on the third day raised him up.
Yes.
He went down into hell and took back everything that belonged to his Father. And he rose with all power in his hand.
Amen.
And he didn't do that just to prove he was God. He did that for us.
Yes,
because
yes.
we're sinful. We're born into sin. We walk in iniquity. There's nothing good in our hearts, says the Lord.
Amen.
Until we turn it over to him.
Yes.
So please, my brother, my sister, make Jesus your choice. Make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Because whatever you're going through, whatever, just as Mother Mitchell said, whatever you're going through right now, Jesus can and will bring you out.
Amen.
Yes, he
There's nothing that God can't do but fail, because God never fails.
Amen.
And God never makes any mistakes.
Right.
You're not a mistake. And I want once you've given your life, I want you to begin to ask the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you right now, from the moment you ask the Lord to be your Savior, I want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to you.
Yes.
I want you to trust what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Don't believe them pompous pastors. You don't go in there. Don't get upset because you see Christians what they supposedly Christians what they know who turned up. You just be the best you for Jesus that you can be. You just learn how to give God praise for yourself. You learn how to pray for yourself. Because as my brother has so articulately pointed out, some of us that call ourselves Christians, we're not all that we're cracked up to be.
Right.
No. Ain't that the truth?
And I'm talking about from the pulpit to the wall and back again.
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
So I want to thank you again, my dear brother. I want to thank Mother Mitchell and Apostle Zeta for speaking up and speaking out to glorify God with us.
Yes.
And Minister Anthony, I'm going to ask you to pray, and I will close the program. Amen.
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 Dear Father, we praise you. We thank you for allowing us to gather here at this time to fellowship, to glorify you. To shout out in glory and thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you so much.
Yeah.
We spend so much time at putting all these petitions before you. And yes, you do hear those petitions, but you act faster on praise. And so we praise you.
Amen.
We glorify you. We thank you for your blameless son. For giving the ultimate sacrifice. Though we're not worthy, you said we are worthy. And you showed me worthy. Only through the blood of Jesus are we worthy. No other way.
Amen.
No other way.
Hallelujah.
So we thank you to continue to fortify us, continue to strengthen us in this time, that we can be strength for others who are suffering spiritually, physically, and be that strength for them. Be that encouragement.
Yes.
Be that hope in them. Let your light
Lord.
Shine through us. And we thank you again for allowing us to do that, put us in a position to do just that. Praise you, Father,
amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have been listening to On Point with our very own minister, Anthony Brooks. We are so glad that all of you tuned in tonight, whether you said anything or not, because what's most important is that you heard a word.
Amen.
You heard a word, and it was a good word indeed.
Yes.
So, on behalf of myself, Bishop Shalene Cook, Minister Anthony Brooks, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, and Apostle Zeta Flowers, it is our fervent prayer that you have a beautiful and blessed upcoming weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, everyone, and God bless
night.
You. Amen. Good night. Amen.
Love you, everybody.
Love you.
Love you,
my son.
Love you, mama.